Hello, I'm Malcolm Bernstein. It's time for the American Israelite program, The News of the Jews. And today we're going to start off with an old friend, Jerry Springer. He returned to Cincinnati on Sunday, November 3rd, to moderate a discussion among members of St. James of the Valley Catholic Church, Wyoming Baptist Church, Ascension and Holy Trinity Church of Wyoming, the Islamic Center of Cincinnati, and the Valley Temple. The evening developed out of a year-long listening campaign conducted by the Valley Temple Tikkun Olam, Healing of the World Committee. Those listening sessions gave temple members a chance to air the issues that are keeping them up at night. Rabbinic student Alicia Harris, who now works with the Jewish Community Relations Council, began the program when she was a Jewish Foundation Rabbinic Fellow serving at the Valley Temple. One of the common themes of the listening sessions has been a concern for mutual respect and neighborliness during difficult times. Rabbi Sanford Kopnik has been meeting with Wyoming clergy since April, helping to organize a Wyoming multi-faith Thanksgiving service for later this month. During one of the clergy meetings, Rabbi Kopnik raised this idea of a joint listening session. Once the churches were on board, he asked longtime Valley Temple member Jerry Springer to serve as moderator. The evening was attended by more than 70 participants and the clergy from the churches, from Valley Temple and the Islamic Center. Springer helped put various ideas into perspective and served as moderator in an effort to promote listening and understanding. The evening was intended to refrain from political banter and partisan politics. Some participants noted that even greater diversity should be a goal of a follow-up session, but most voiced encouragement that the program was a good start. The Valley Temple will host a Wyoming Thanksgiving service at 7 p.m. Tuesday, November 22nd. Spiritual leaders of five Wyoming houses of worship and the Wyoming High School Chorale will participate. A donation of a canned good for the Valley Interfaith Food and Clothing Center is encouraged. Well, Brooklyn-born Israeli author Yossi Klein Halevi wants to create a model for a new conversation between Israelis and Palestinians so they can better understand each other's historical narrative. He has begun this process with his book, Letters to My Palestinian Neighbors. Halevi spoke about his work at the Jewish Community Center on Tuesday, October 29th, in front of a packed crowd at the Amberley Room Auditorium. In Halevi's view, the heart of the conflict is the question of legitimacy for both sides. He said Israelis and Palestinians disagree on almost everything and that their differences are reconcilable. But neither side is going to disappear, and both peoples are indigenous to the area that each claims as its own. Halevi is a senior fellow at the Shalom Hartman Institute in Jerusalem. He also co-directs Duke University's Muslim Leadership Initiative. His appearance in Cincinnati was part of a speaker series entitled Is Peace Possible? Conversations about a Shared Future in the Middle East. In their public discourse, Palestinians say Jews are a religion and not a real people. The Israeli right wing counters that there is no such thing as a Palestinian national identity. But Halevi argues, quote, to point out that there was no coherent Palestinian national identity a century ago is to do spiritual violence to the right of the people to emerge whenever they did emerge and define themselves as a legitimate people, close quote. Halevi told his Cincinnati audience that the purpose for addressing his neighbors was to explain to the Palestinians who the Jews really are. He argued that nobody in Israel has ever thought of doing that before. Halevi said the most authentic way of telling the story of the Jews and effectively making the case for the legitimacy of Israel was through a religious perspective. That is because Halevi is religious, and he assumes that his Palestinian neighbor is a religious Muslim. Halevi also emphasized there must be a religious legitimacy for the painful concessions that each side is going to have to make. He said the real target of the assault on Israel is on the legitimacy of the story that we tell to ourselves. He said the denial of Israel's right to exist is the deepest wound for Jews who embrace a time frame that stretches back through millennia. He assumes that the Muslim world has a similarly long narrative. He says, and the tragedy from the Israel point of view of our homecoming is that when we finally came home, we weren't allowed to actually feel like we were fully home. And we would have to defend the right to exist from day one. He said the Jews had no choice but to return home and reestablish a Jewish commonwealth, but the Palestinians regard the Zionist enterprise as just another conquest by supervisor colonialists. He said there was a need to retell the story of Zionism in a new 21st century way, which is not driven by the Holocaust and is not largely Euro-centered. That is because Israel has dramatically changed since its founding in 1948. Today's Israel is inhabited by a majority of Jews who came from the Arab world. After meeting with young Palestinians over the past few months, the author said he has learned that the entire conflict can be reduced. Who started it? Who is guilty of the original sin? Palestinians say the Jews started the conflict by arriving in a place where Palestinians were living peacefully and insisting that the Jews had the right to return to a land where they'd lived for thousands of years and reclaim it for themselves. Jews say they made many compromises along the way as they built a Jewish state in their ancestral homeland to which they had maintained a deep connection through a long exile. The Jewish people also say that Palestinians have rejected every opportunity for a compromise solution. Halevi believes that neither side has had a choice in acting and responding as it did. He said he thinks that in trying to explain the Jewish narrative to their neighbors, Israelis are actually working for peace. Because it's the denial of our legitimacy that is largely or partly responsible for pushing so many Israelis into the hardline position, and so the more that we hear voices on the Palestinian side and in the Arab and Muslim world saying, generally, we disagree with you on everything, but we're not going to challenge your basic legitimacy, your indigenousness, the more I believe we can begin having a better conversation, not only between Palestinians and Israelis, but also among Israelis and the Jewish community. Turning to some of the other news in the community. Alex Bregman broke a World Series record. Most of the news surrounding the Houston Astros, Alex Bregman on October 29th, focused on his bat carry, how he ostentatiously carried his bat down to first base while watching his first inning home run sail over the left field fence before dropping it. He apologized for the move after the game. But the Jewish third baseman's blast was historic, too. It was his fifth in a World Series, setting the all-time record for most World Series home runs by a third baseman. It was his third homer of this year's series, which also made him the youngest American League player to hit three in a Fall Classic since Mickey Mantle did it in 1956. The accolades kept piling up for Bregman, who had a monster year, hitting .296 with 41 home runs and 112 RBI. Bregman could not carry his team to another World Series. The Washington Nationals won the seventh and deciding game, 6-2, on October 30th. And in a very odd situation, there was not a single game that was won by the home team. It was always the visiting team that won. Let's go to this week's parsha. It is Lech Lecha. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, now he dwelt by the oaks of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. The Parsha is Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through chapter 17, verse 27. Go away for your own good from your land, from your birthplace, and from your father's house to the land that I shall show you. I will make you into a great nation. You shall become a blessing. All the families of the earth shall be blessed through you. That from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Our portion owns with the first divine commandment to the first Jew, the command to make Aliyah. Why did God choose Abraham, and why was it so important for him to move to the land of Israel? Maimonides, basing himself on earlier Midrashim, maintains that Abraham discovered the concept of ethical monotheism, a single creator of the universe, who demands justice, compassion, and peace. Abraham shattered the idols in Ur Kasdim, was chased to Haran, where he continued to preach his newfound religion, was addressed by God, and sent to the land of Israel. This is the propagation. It is the propagation of this new credo that is the source of the Abrahamic blessing for the world and is the essence of his election. Not only does God stipulate that through Abraham all the families of the earth shall be blessed, but Maimonides also pictures the first Jew as an intellectually gifted forerunner of Yonatan, Johnny Appleseed, planting seeds of ethical monotheism and plucking the human fruits of his labor wherever he went. This missionary activity on behalf of God was established by Abraham as a model for all his descendants and even, according to many authorities, an actual commandment. The Midrash interpreting the commandment to love the Lord your God teaches, we are commanded to make him, God, beloved to all creatures, as did Abraham your father. As our text states, the souls which they, Abram and Sarai, made in Haran in Genesis 12:15. After all, if all the people of the world were to gather together in order to create one mosquito and endow it with soul, they would be incapable of accomplishing it. So what is the text saying in the words, the souls which they make in Haran? This teaches that Abraham and Sarah converted them and brought them under the wings of the divine presence. The Midrash confirms that the propagation of ethical monotheism was Abraham's major vocation, and this is why he was commanded to move to Israel. Rabbi Barachia said, Abraham can be compared to a vial of sweet-smelling spices sealed tightly and locked away in a corner so that the pleasant aroma could not spread. Once the vial began to be transported, its aroma radiated all around. So did the Blessed One, the Holy One, blessed be he, say to Abraham, move from your place, and your name and message will become great universally. This Midrash flies in the face of the biblical text. After all, it was Ur Kasdim and then in Haran, places in the diaspora, that Abraham and Sarah won converts to their religion. And this is confirmed by a daring Talmudic statement. Rabbi Elazar said, the Holy One, blessed be He, sent Israel into exile among the nations of the world only in order to win converts. So if propagating the faith is so essential to the Jewish election and mission, why did God command and send Abraham and his descendants to live in one place, Israel? It would seem that a large diaspora would be far more efficacious in bringing multitudes of souls into our faith. The answer lies in the fact that we are a nation as well as a religion, a people imbued with a mission not only to serve God, but also, and even principally, to perfect society. From our very inception, the Bible understood that nations are interdependent, and that an ethical and moral code of conduct is central to the survival of a free world, and it is only another nation that can be in the position to influence other nations. Our goal must be to influence others to strive to emulate us. We must be a nation, but not a nation like all nations, but rather a light unto the nations. No one can influence another unless they know their self-definition. A minority group dominated by a host culture majority will expend so much energy merely attempting to survive that there will be little ability or will left over to develop a unique culture as a model for others. And unless one controls the society, there is no living laboratory to test one's ethical and moral ideas, to see if they can be expressed in real-life situations. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, former chief rabbi of Great Britain, expressed it very well. There were three brilliant and disenfranchised Jews who developed unique world outlooks. Karl Marx argued that human beings are controlled by economic forces. Spinoza maintained that humanity is controlled by nature and natural instincts. Freud believed that we are formed by our parents' home, fraught with traumas of Oedipus and Electra complexes. God commands Abraham, free yourself of Marxian Spinoza and Freudian determinism. All of these will have an influence, but human freedom as children of the God of love will empower us to transcend these limitations and create a more perfect society. Hence, God tells Abraham that he must leave to forge a unique nation dedicated to the ultimate values of human life and freedom, societal justice and compassion, so that through his special nation, the world will be blessed and humanity will be redeemed. Shabbat Shalom from Rabbi Shlomo Riskin, Chancellor Emeritus at Or Torah Stone and Chief Rabbi of Ephrat, Israel. Back to the news. A white supremacist has been arrested for plotting to blow up a synagogue in Colorado. Richard Holzer, 27, was charged for planning to attack Temple Emmanuel, a congregation in Pueblo, Colorado, of 35 families whose building dates to 1900. According to an affidavit describing the charges, Holzer is a self-described skinhead and former Ku Klux Klan member who has used Facebook to promote white supremacy ideology and acts of violence. The affidavit describes weeks of undercover work by the FBI leading to Holzer's arrest November 1st, beginning with an undercover agent making first contact with him online in September. Holzer told the agent he was preparing for a racial holy war. In mid-October, Holzer met for the first time with FBI agents posing as white supremacists and discussed his plan to blow up the synagogue. He also gave them white supremacist paraphernalia, including a flag, patches, and a mask. Holzer also claimed to have enlisted a Mexican ally in a scheme last year to poison the synagogue's water supply with arsenic. He said it led to the synagogue being shut down. But Helena Atlas Acuna, the synagogue's board secretary, said the water supply was not, in fact, poisoned. "I wanted something that tells them they're not welcome in town," Holzer said, according to the affidavit. "Better get the F out, otherwise people will die." Over the course of the next 2 weeks, the agents purported to work with Holzer on building bombs and planning to blow up the synagogue. Holzer scoped out the building multiple times. On November 1st, he met again with the agents who presented him with fake bombs they said could blow up the synagogue. Upon seeing the bombs, which were inert, Holzer said, "This is absolutely gorgeous." Holzer was arrested subsequently and charged with attempting to obstruct religious exercise by force using explosives and fire. Following the arrest, he admitted that he had planned to blow up the synagogue, even if there were people inside. He will face a preliminary hearing on November 1st and faces up to 20 years in prison. Michael Atlas Acuna, Helena's husband and Temple Emmanuel president, told the Jewish Telegraphic Agency on Monday that he and his wife first learned of Holzer's plot from press reports. He said the congregation is already conscious of its security, but will review its procedures and policies given the news. He said, "We're not going to be intimidated. We take security very seriously, and we do what we need to secure the synagogue. We're not going to be victims or see ourselves as victims. We're going to defend ourselves." At a news conference November 4th, law enforcement officials said the synagogue no longer faces an imminent threat. Officials from the U.S. Attorney's Office and the FBI classified the alleged crime as domestic terrorism. Troy Davenport, Pueblo's police chief, had a news conference. He said, "Pueblo is a diverse community, a community characterized by inclusiveness and not these types of behaviors. This kind of behavior is intolerable in our city." From Texas, Hall of Famer quarterback Roger Staubach will be honored for his work as a strong supporter of Israel and other Zionist causes. The B'nai Tzion Foundation, a nonprofit organization based in the United States that identifies with funds and capital projects in Israel, will present the Dallas Cowboys great, who grew up in Cincinnati, with his 2019 American Israel Friendship Award at an event in Dallas on next Monday. Staubach wrote in a commentary published in the Dallas Morning News ahead of the award ceremony that "my Catholic roots have always helped me see the importance of an Israeli homeland." The Heisman Trophy winner called the purchase of Israeli bonds while a student at the U.S. Naval Academy because they were affordable, my first link to Israel. He also wrote, "Israel is a special face that represents so many faiths. It covers everyone and everything, and you don't have to be Jewish to understand its singular status and support it as a nation and an idea." The writer of the movie The Social Network still has a couple things to say about Facebook and its founder, Mark Zuckerberg, and they aren't good. Screenwriter Aaron Sorkin penned an open letter to the embattled Zuckerberg in the New York Times on Thursday, accusing him of assaulting truth and taking Zuckerberg to task for his recent defense of his social network's permissive stance on free speech. Zuckerberg told Congress recently that Facebook will not police political ads. "Congresswoman, in most cases in a democracy, I believe people should be able to see for themselves what politicians they may or may not vote for are saying and judge their character for themselves." That's what Zuckerberg told Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Democrat of New York, in an exchange that has gone viral. Zuckerberg also said that Ocasio-Cortez could probably run ads falsely claiming that Republicans had voted for the Green New Deal, one of her signature progressive proposals. Critics, including Sorkin, say that Zuckerberg's position amounts to condoning lies and misinformation on the social media giant. He contrasted Facebook's policy with what he characterized as the careful vetting of his 2010 movie about Zuckerberg. He called on Zuckerberg to make Facebook a reliable source of public information. Jewish astronaut Jessica Meir has posted photos of Israel that she took from space. My father's globe spanning journey as a surgeon from Middle East to Europe and eventually the U.S. was an inspiration to many in my immediate and extended family, Meir tweeted on November 1st. In late September, she joined the crew of the International Space Station. 2 weeks ago, she participated in the first all-female spacewalk. Meir's late father was born in Iraq, but immigrated with his family to pre-state Israel as a young child, later fighting in the country's War of Independence in 1948. He went on to become a doctor and take a job in Sweden, where he met Meir's mother. The couple moved to Maine, where Meir's father was offered a job there. She also brought an Israeli flag to the space station as one of her allowed personal items. Let's take a look at the community calendar. On Sunday, November 10th, at the Holocaust and Humanity Center at the Union Terminal, they're having Veterans Day. That'll be at 11 a.m. If you're interested in Mahjong, Temple Sholom is having the Heidi Lieb Annual Mahjong Tournament at 1 p.m. on November 10th. This is the 15th annual tournament. Also on Sunday from 2 to 4 p.m., a Kristallnacht commemoration and program with Dr. Tamara Reps Freeman. Dennis Ross will be at the JCC, at the Jewish Federation and Community Relations Council, from 7 to 9 p.m., also on Sunday. Monday, November 11th, is the JNF Tree of Life Dinner, 5:30 p.m. at Cincinnati Music Hall. Beth Adom Synagogue on Wednesday, November 13th, has Israel Through Israeli Eyes. And also at 7 p.m. on November 13th, Revisioning Diaspora, Talmud and the Jews, at the Clough Library at Hebrew Union College Jewish Institute of Religion. That will be followed by the annual Feld Memorial Lecture with Daniel Boyarin at the Clough Library. Shabbat starts, light your candles at 5:11 this evening, and it will end tomorrow at 6:12. I'm Malcolm Bernstein. This has been the American Israelite Program, the news of the Jews. I'll be back with you again next week. Till then, bye-bye.